Hi, I'm Perrine Fark, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. This time around, I'm joined by Perrine Fark. She is an author, entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and diversity expert. We dive into diversity hardcore in this conversation. And she empowers leaders to leverage diversity as their competitive advantage. That's why we dive into it hardcore in this conversation. She's been nominated as one of the top 50 most influential UK tech women, and she continues to be recognized for her contributions. She drove the strategy at companies such as Facebook and is on a mission to make the workplace more inclusive and diverse. Let's just get to this conversation. It's a great one. Here is my conversation with Perrine Fark here on A Productive Conversation with yours truly, Mike Vardy. Enjoy. Perrine, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today and having a productive conversation. Right now where you are, it's later in the day. So this is like the post, if we were having this conversation live, I'm having my coffee. You'd be getting ready to have a glass of wine maybe or a cocktail.
Actually, I'm having my coffee. I'm having my 4:30 p.m. afternoon coffee. So it's perfect timing for me.
Perfect. I want to talk to you today about your book, Inclusion, The Ultimate Secret for an Organization's Success. As I went through the book, some of the blurbs, you've actually, Carl Honoré, who's been on the program before, he's fellow Canadian. And as I started to go through the book and after watching your TEDx talk, which we will link to in the show notes, it had me thinking, because I've never spoken to a person who focuses exclusively on inclusion. And I wanted to know right out of the gate, what really got you interested in going down this path?
Yeah, great question. First of all, I love Carl. He's actually in Canada right now, in Edmonton, as we speak, visiting his family. He hasn't seen them in 2 years. So it's just a side note.
Well, I'll have to text him. I'll have to text him because we're actually only an hour away from each other in time zone wise. We're about 12 hours away in terms of driving, but only an hour time difference. So I'll have to text him. But Carl's a great guy.
Make sure you do. He's absolutely a great guy. But what a great question. What got me started talking about inclusion is actually a very personal story, which I think is often the case, very personal or slash professional story. Basically, I was working in corporate for many, many years, about a decade. I was working in corporate and technology organizations. And I always worked for, you know, I had different teams. Some teams were a bit less inclusive than others. And in particular, one of the last organizations I was working with, the environment in my team was not great. Let's just put it that way. I just didn't feel very supported by my manager in particular. Some of the team was very sort of not a great environment, didn't feel safe to speak up. I was never felt really included in any way. And I think one day I remember we were flying. So I'm based in London. The company is headquartered in the US, San Francisco. Every year we would all fly to California to do this big annual meetup, company kickoff, super exciting. Everybody was flying from all over the world, super excited to be there. And as I remember vividly, I was in my hotel room sort of looking at the agenda. Where am I supposed to go next? It's very busy. I found out by accident that one of my colleagues was invited to a women in leadership lunch with our CEO, who's also a woman. And I just felt, for me, it was the moment. It was a small moment, but for me, it was the moment I realized, actually, I've never been included in that meeting. Why have I not been invited to that women in leadership lunch? And it was kind of an aha moment where I felt, surely there is a better way to work together. There's a better way to create teams that are more inclusive, more people feel valued and respected. And so that was the starting point that led me where I am today, to talk about inclusion, to help organizations create more inclusive environments. So that's the story behind the book.
So when I watched your TED talk, and I know you go over this in the book, there's like an acronym. I'm a huge fan of acronyms. Love that, because it makes it easier to remember. And it allows people to kind of gravitate towards it. And when you're working with an organization, acronyms are actually quite important, because number one, it gives them like a quick trigger and a waypoint to follow. But number two, there is this aura of like thought and professionalism around an acronym. Yes, it can be quite cliche, but it means that there's been a lot of thought, a lot of process put into it. So can we touch on this acronym? Because I think that when people have a sense of how to go from, okay, I know we should be more inclusion oriented. Exclusion is not good. And especially now that we're working a lot more remotely and dealing with all of that stuff, how can we talk about that acronym? Because it does lead you down that path towards having a more inclusive environment and a more inclusive organization.
Yeah, of course. I'm a big fan of acronyms. I also think it helps people remember. So remind me, Mike, because I'm using different acronyms. I'm actually using a couple of different acronyms for my talks. So there are a couple that come to mind. Remind me which one you're referring to.
This one in particular has a lot to do with task management and productivity because you're taking action. So it's an ACT of sorts, yeah. Right? So there we go, yes. The ACT acronym.
Yes, no, absolutely. The ACT acronym is one of my favorite. You're right, because it's easy to remember. Absolutely. So the A is all about acknowledging, articulating your why and set goals. I always go back to start with your why, articulate why you believe in diversity and inclusion. You personally, as a person, as a human being, why do you think it's important to have a team that's inclusive? What does that mean to you? What does it even mean to you? What's your definition? Also, why do you think you should even care about having an inclusive team? So articulating your why and set goals. So what does an inclusive team look like? What are, key performance indicators you might look at? Because that's really, really important. I also talk about the T, which is take real action. You talk about that, for productivity. It's important to think. I always talk about think of yourself as an upstander. If you start thinking of yourself as an advocate, an upstander, that's going to help you take real action, because sometimes you might face a situation where you might see misconduct, for example, or inappropriate behavior, and you always have a choice. You could always pretend it didn't happen, be almost a bystander, or you can think of yourself as an advocate and take real action. This is the acronym I use in my TikTok to remember. There's also another acronym I like to talk about on a side note.
Sure.
I have a talk about, it's all related, I have a talk about imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. but I think it's related, especially in the sense of diversity and inclusion of women. So a lot of, how can we make women more included in organizations, especially at the leadership level, which is something I experienced a lot. And I know a lot of women in corporate experience that imposter syndrome much more than men. But having said that, men also sometimes experience imposter syndrome, but especially women. And I think that's reinforced by the fact that they don't often see people who look like them at the leadership level. And that's the same for other underrepresented groups like people of color, disabled individuals, LGBT+. So for when I talk about the imposter syndrome, I use the SHE acronym, which again, super easy to remember. Mm-hmm. So the S is for speak about it. Speak about the imposter syndrome. The more you talk about it, the more you demystify this concept and you understand this is actually very common. A lot of people experience it. You make it more approachable. And the H is for handle your fear of failure. So handle your fear of failing. I think it was Edison who said, I didn't fail at inventing. It took 1,000 trials for Edison to invent the light bulb. And he famously said, I didn't fail. I only find 1,000 ways that it didn't work.
Right.
So you need to handle your fear of failure. And the E is for embrace new opportunities. The more you take risk, and we talk about take real action, take risk, embrace new opportunities, the more you're going to, find that imposter syndrome. So in a nutshell, another great acronym I like to talk about is that SHE to tackle the imposter syndrome. Speak about it, handle your fear of failure, and embrace new opportunities.
When it comes to putting together an organization that is more inclusive, and I'm going to go down this path a little bit. It's not how necessarily I feel, because we have a pretty inclusive remote environment here. Although I do have somebody with me that works in my city, and it took me a long time to get that to happen. So I'm really glad I was able to. And we've actually been very conscientious about pronouns and stuff, but not overtly. So, and this is the first time I'm kind of talking about this, but when we send emails off, we rarely use he, him, her, she. We are very much them. We use their proper names, but we don't make a fuss about it, right? We're just trying to do it in a way that you wouldn't know unless you knew, right? Which I think is one of the ways that you can do it without to show people how it can happen without you making like these grand gestures, right? So when it comes to building an inclusive environment, that's like, I'll use that as a small example, but some people would say, you know, oh man, that's going to take a lot of time to put together. We're so well entrenched in this and we have to rip things apart and putting the infrastructure together. But in your book, like it doesn't, putting that kind of infrastructure in place is not, it can be challenging, but it's not impossible. Can you give me some examples or maybe some ideas of how you can break through somebody's bias or their belief around like, this seems like it's going to be a lot of work to untangle what we've built. Give them some kind of outcome right away. Like, look, if you just do this one thing, you're already headed down the right path.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you're right, because creating a culture that's inclusive, creating a team where people feel seen, valued, respected, doesn't need to be a 12-month program and doesn't need to be extremely complicated and have tons of budget and investment. It can be you with your team at your level as an individual contributor making a difference. So there are small things you can do every day. I mean, first of all, be a student, you know, be a constant student studying. By that, I mean, listen to podcasts from people that are a different gender, a different, maybe a different ethnic background, a different age, a different ability or not disability or different sexual orientation. You know, listening to podcasts by people who are different from you is going to open up your mind. You're going to learn some of their challenges that you were not aware of. You can also read books about these topics. You can follow social media accounts to educate yourself. So something super simple, free, that takes literally 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes on your commute, wherever, on your run, that anybody can do that. Then you want to kind of lead by example. So you talked about inclusive language. That's a great way. You know, start by being more aware of the words you use every day. And actually, I have a talk about inclusive language. And it's small things, but okay, the big thing, for example, nowadays, a lot of people say, hey, guys, when I start a meeting with women and men in the room. Now, I know that it's very accepted nowadays to say guys to a group of mixed individuals, including women. We know that guys actually refers to, from an etymology perspective, to men. So it's more inclusive to say hi everyone, for example. It's a small example, but for example, instead of saying, you know, black lists, you can replace by block list, for example. Mm-hmm. Or instead of using white list, you can just say list. Why should it be white, right? So small things. Inclusive language is important, it's a key one. So you can do those small things every day. Being aware of the dynamics in meetings, in team meetings, being aware of who speaks. If you have a meeting of 3, 4, 5 people, maybe every week, observe your team dynamic. Notice who is being silent and ask them to speak. You can appoint a moderator. You can be the meeting moderator. And you can also do a round robin scenario where you ask everybody across the table, everybody has the same speaking time. That's one thing that's very simple. Anybody, literally anybody can do that. Share an agenda before your meeting if you can. I know we're all busy, but some people are more introverts and they need a bit more time to think about answers. So you give them more of a chance to think about what they're going to say. When you ask people to take notes in the meeting, make sure you're not asking, for example, the only woman in the room, can you take notes or can you schedule the next meeting? Maybe you can do a round robin again, right? So those are all small things and leading by example. So if you see misconduct, for example, something that's not really appropriate, the way someone talks to someone, just acknowledge it and, you know, take action and speak to the person. So those are all small things, very practical examples that you can do every day to be more of an inclusive leader at work.
And as you were talking about this, you mentioned the introvert extrovert factor too, because it's not just about inclusion. Isn't just about, you know, men, women, different races, all that stuff. It also has to do with the way certain people are wired, right? Like, yeah. I've talked about this before with the early risers versus the night owls. You and I are talking right now. It's 8:30 in the morning. Normally, I'm just getting go. Like, I am a night owl, so I'm like the guy that takes so. When remote work started, especially during COVID-19, people were, you know, like you were able to actually leverage some of those strengths because you could say, we don't care when you work. It's just about the results. And so what they'd be able to do is tap into the morning. People are like getting that heavy lifting stuff done earlier in the day. But if you know that you've got some people that are better later in the day, kind of give them the grace to be able to do that stuff later. Morning meetings are not always the best meetings because you're number one, you're harming the best productive time for those early risers, but you're also not going to get anything out of the late risers who are like, ugh. So I think, can we go into that a little bit? Like, again, you touched on it. And I think that when people think about inclusion, they tend to think about those hot button issues such as, you know, gender and race. But there are other nuances there that people probably just don't think about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your example because I can totally relate to that. By the way, I'm the morning person. So I'm the person who starts super early and then at night I'm in bed early.
Hence the 4:30 coffee.
Exactly. But you're right because, you know, first of all, the definition of diversity and inclusion has evolved over time. So 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was all about women in the workplace. Then it's evolved to actually we want more people of color everywhere. And now nowadays, thankfully, it's evolved to let's talk about disabled individuals. Let's talk about mental health, people affected with mental health issues. Let's talk about LGBT, sexual orientation, gender. So that's evolved. And then even to introverts, extroverts. So why is this happening? Well, actually, organizations are starting to realize that to get the most of your people, you need to make them feel comfortable enough so they can as much as possible, be themselves, as much as possible, feel comfortable and bring their best selves, right? What is worse than feeling that you kind of have to cover all the time? For example, let's say you are the only night owl in your team. Everybody's an early bird, right? And let's imagine you don't feel safe enough to say, sorry, can we move the meeting? Because you just feel there is no trust. There is no psychological safety. And that's a small thing, but to you, it's huge, right? And I think that's why the definition, let's acknowledge that the definition has evolved. Why? Because we want our employees to feel safe, psychological safe, to bring their best selves to work. And so one concept I talk a lot about is, you're going to hear me talk a lot about this. I talk about psychological safety. By that, I mean, you know, creating that basic layer of trust with your team. Because your team, you want them to feel that they trust you enough, they can come up to you and say, look, I'm an introvert. I really struggle speaking up in meetings. But actually, I've got lots of brilliant ideas. I just struggle to share my ideas in meetings. What can we do to make this happen? And you'd be surprised what would come out of this. Or someone might say, I'm the only woman in the team. I feel a little bit intimidated by the other men in the group. Is there a way we can maybe change the build-up of the team? Can we bring people from other departments? And you would be surprised how these kind of conversations will open up to new ideas, creative thinking, innovation, productivity, and so on. And but on the other side, right, if we don't create an environment of trust where people feel psychologically safe to be themselves and to talk about real problems, people are going to shut up and it's going to get worse. So instead of having the real conflicts and the real conversations, we're going to have silence and just whoever is the most senior in the group will probably make the decisions. Mm. And then over time, that's going to build up. That sort of toxic environment is going to build up. That's going to lead to employee turnover, low employee morale, lack of productivity. So I think I always go back to psychological safety is the foundation of inclusion and trust and all the good things, innovation, productivity, employee engagement, high morale, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, and it's this idea of businesses and organizations, because the larger they are, the more they tend to focus on quantitative results and not qualitative results, right? Like, because they can count that. They go, oh, look, here's the bottom line. But they don't use, because it's so massive, they don't incorporate second order thinking. Like, well, if we don't involve some inclusionary aspects to our team, why is productivity down? Well, because you're not providing a safe environment for people to work in. So sure, you're cranking. So in what happens is they think quantitatively, like, oh, we have to work more hours, or we have to hire more people, or we have to cut back hours because our payroll is too high. Instead of saying, okay, well, how do we leverage this? And you know, you bring up psychological stuff, and I think that I touched on biases early on, right? And you talk about in the book the idea of unconscious bias and, you know, some of the ways that you can put some unconscious bias training. And biases most people don't And it makes sense because they don't recognize it because they're a bias. And we're all human, and humans fall prey to them. So can we talk a bit about the role that unconscious bias plays in this and how training can help? Because this kind of thing doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah. And by the way, I came across a recent research on that, which was so interesting. It said that the more educated people are, the more educated they are, the less they think they have biases.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting, right? It's like the more they went to sort of Ivy School universities, the more they think, I don't have any bias. I'm so educated. So first of all, let's acknowledge that we're all human beings. We all have bias. We all naturally gravitate towards people who look like us. It's comfortable. It's easy. It's convenient. People who speak the same language as us, the same gender, the same age, it's just normal human behavior. Mm-hmm. That what that creates is that then when it comes to hiring someone, promoting someone, firing someone, mm-hmm. we're more obviously likely to hire someone who looks like us or went to the same school, maybe.
Right.
Or to promote someone who's maybe the same gender or the same age or we get along with, even though we might not realize at the conscious level, but the subconscious level that happens a lot. So how do we, obviously we know that's not great because first of all, there's the idea that it's not fair. And second, the more your team are homogenous, the less you have innovation, creative thinking. So we don't want that. So how do we go about that? The answer is it's complicated. But the thing about bias is that the more you talk about it, the more you raise awareness, the better it gets. So it's almost like, think of it like having a shower. You wouldn't have a shower one day and not shower for the rest of the week or the month, right? You will shower every day. Or brushing your teeth or eating. You wouldn't say, I brushed my teeth yesterday. I'm not going to brush my teeth for a week. So it's one of those things you need to repeat over and over and over. I'm not saying every day, but surely having some reminders about, oh, those are the most common unconscious bias in hiring. Those are the most common unconscious bias in promoting. Or that's an example of a recent example of bias that happened in a workplace in the US, for example. So the more you share information, maybe you'll have a Slack channel to, unconscious bias. Maybe you'll have a monthly speaker coming to your company to talk about microaggressions. Maybe you will have a all-hands meeting to talk about the most common biases in hiring, etc. So the idea is to repeat that. But of course, it needs to be part of like a program. You can't just do that and expect things to happen. So I always go back to, go back to the why. As an organization, why do you want to fight unconscious bias? Is it because you think it's going to make your team more innovative? Is it because you think your people are going to be more engaged at work and stay? Or do you think that's going to help you connect better with your customers who are from diverse backgrounds? Whichever the reason, make sure you understand why you're doing this. And then, like I said, repeat it and repeat and repeat it. The more the better. Those are kind of the basics I talk about when I talk about unconscious bias.
So at the tail end of the book, you have three appendices, and there's questionnaires and assessments. Is that one of the best places to start in this book? Because normally people start at the beginning, and some of the what I like about the book is that it isn't necessarily a book that you need to go through, in order. I've had conversations with people before where the book is very much prescriptive, but there's a lot where it turns into, and I believe this is what you've done with this book, into more of a reference book where it's like, you need to pick it up and go, oh, I'm recognizing this. I need to do this. So first off, let's touch on those the three appendices, and then let's get into, the way that if someone was to pick up this book today, how they might want to approach it.
So it's a great question. And you're right. The way I created this book is I want anyone who works in an organization to be able to create a more inclusive team, whether they are the new student or the intern or an individual contributor or even the manager or the CEO. Anyone can read this book and create a more inclusive team. Anyone. And so it's super practical. Like you said, like every chapter has almost a specific topic. You can read it from the beginning to the end if you wish to, but you can also pick a chapter. Actually, that's why I've created obviously at the start, there is an emphasis on sort of the structure of the book. You can sort of pick and choose which topics are more relevant to you. There is one on women in the workplace and on Black colleagues in the workplace, unconscious bias in the workplace. So pick one that you think is super interesting to you, but essentially you can read it in whichever order you feel. And then the appendix are, again, super practical. Those are actually tools I use in my workshops with my clients. So, for example, the engagement survey questionnaire, it's a super easy tool to use to get a sense of, are your employees, do they feel engaged and included, or do they feel completely excluded from the conversation? That's going to be super helpful. And by the way, you can use something like SurveyMonkey to send it. You don't have to have any fancy HR software. And then I use another kind of questionnaire around, it's called the Diversity and Inclusion Assessment. So it's a benchmark. It's more for, I guess, HR professionals or team leaders to get, you know, a benchmark of how inclusive and diverse their team is. So it's a little bit more in-depth. And usually I take the results and I look at other similar companies' results to give them a benchmark on where they are in terms of their maturity model. And then there is a self-assessment questionnaire. Again, super easy. It's for anyone to understand where they are in terms of their awareness around inclusion. So, yeah, super practical tools that I want to say anyone can use. You don't have to be a team leader. You don't have to be a CEO. You can be the new intern, the new student, and you want to understand how you can make an impact. That's the book to go to in terms of being very practical.
So, Perrine, as we wrap up, I think one thing, I mean, I'm going to ask you, and I ask this generally to everybody, is like, what's one action that someone can take to start to make progress in what we're talking about? So inclusion. I'm going to jump the gun here and say one of the things is just having what we're doing right now, a conversation, like starting there. But there's got to be other things that people can do. Yes, picking up the book, which you definitely should do. Again, it's called Inclusion, the Ultimate Secret for an Organization's Success. But in terms of if someone wants to get started today, the person listening right now says, you know what, we need to do this for my team, for the organization I work for. What's one simple step that they can take starting right now as soon as they stop listening to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'll tell you that. In the idea of being a constant learner, subscribe to a podcast about diversity and inclusion. Subscribe to a podcast about women in the workplace, if you're a man, for example. Or why don't you start following an Instagram account around disabled people at work, right? So something like that. Follow a social media account that's all about inclusion and diversity in the workplace. Subscribe to a podcast about that, or buy a book, any book, around inclusion, equity, diversity. Those are like actions people can do right now to be a constant learner. And by the way, once you finish the book, get another one and another one. And once you finish the podcast episode, you know, subscribe to another one. It's just never ending, because if you stop learning, you are going to sort of forget. But also there are new trends and new ideas that come up all the time. So make sure you are a constant learner. It doesn't need to be expensive, by the way. A lot of podcasts are free. Following social media accounts are free, right? So there are a lot of things you can do for free.
Perrine, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today. Where can people pick up the book, and where can they keep up with the work that you're doing?
Yeah, the best way is my website, because I try to keep it up to date. It's my first name and last name.com. So it's perrinefark.com. As soon as you get there, I think it's on the homepage. There's a link to my book. So you can get my book there. And also you can subscribe to my newsletter if you want to get some tips on inclusion and diversity.
Thanks so much, Perrine, for taking time to have a productive conversation with me today.
Thank you, Mike. It was such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks to Perrine for joining me on the program today. If you want to find out all that we talked about and access links quickly, easily, simply, go to productivityist.com/podcast406 and you can make that happen. If you want to support the show, you want to make that happen, visit our sponsors page. All the sponsors that you heard today on this program are listed there. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors and check out what they have to offer. If you want to make sure that you don't miss anything that we have to offer on this podcast in the future, but also want to see what we had to offer in the past, subscribe to the show. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are listening to this program, hit the subscribe button. That way you can listen to the 405 plus episodes that over 6 million people have downloaded to this point quickly, simply, easily. There's tons of great guests. Seth Godin, David Allen, Chris Bailey, Cal Newport, you name it. They've been on this program. And when you do, you'll also guarantee that you won't miss a single episode of What's to Come each and every week. Now, next week, we are introducing a brand new series to this program. Every month, we are going to do an episode from The Vault. And this episode is from the vault. It's Rob Walker. I can't wait to bring it to you. We've recorded a whole new intro, a whole new outro. I'm excited to deliver this episode to you next week from the vault. So episode 407 will be delivered to you again as a subscriber really quickly. Just hit the subscribe button now. All right? Doesn't cost you anything. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to listen. And until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. I'll see you later.